Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Welcome back, folks. If you came here looking to get a little freaked out, you came to the right place. As I just said, my name is Derek Hayes. This is Monsters Among Us, and it is a call-in show about the bizarre, the unusual, the supernatural, the unexplained. Well, pretty much anything weird that you can think of. We meet here each and every Thursday evening to share a small sampling of my intensive collection of first-hand and second-hand accounts. Stories all collected through my hotline, which I'll tell you about here in a little bit. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm not a fan of small talk, and I'm not a fan of wasting time. So what do you say? We get started. But before we do, we had some friends visiting over the holiday weekend, so that put me a little bit behind the eight ball scheduling-wise. So to make up some lost time, I'm dusting off an old favorite. Tonight's episode is a full-on grab bag, meaning that I have not studied these calls. Neither our researcher Delaney or myself did any research on these entries. Hell, some of them I haven't even heard yet. And the others I've only heard maybe once, several months ago. So essentially, they're just as new to me as they are to you. So, let's reach deep down into this bag of terrifying goodies and pluck out our first sacrifice of the evening. Holly, from Virginia. Welcome to tonight's program.
Hi, this is Holly from Central Pennsylvania. This is something that happened to me a few years ago. I was very sick and feeling terrible, and I was in bed, and I felt like I saw from the corner of my eye, watching me from across the room near the doorway, a black figure in a dark hat, and, you know, no face or anything. A hat man, basically, which I didn't really know about at the time, and I still don't really understand the phenomenon, but what I felt was happening was that this creature had some say over me that I didn't have any power over.
and it was very impersonal. It was deciding if I was suffering too much and if I should have the out of death. I was very angry about that. I was like, I really was suffering. I was in a very hard time in my life, and I was in physical pain and other sorts of pain too. But I felt like I should have a say. I don't want this being deciding that for me. So in that way, it was a very distressing experience. So I don't feel like I've fully processed it. It seemed like it was completely impartial. I just thought I would call in about this. That was just a very strange feeling. And not like it was a machine, but something on the spiritual level almost like that. Like, just so far above in bureaucracy or something that it was authorized to make a decision, to look how much someone is suffering, to observe, and to decide this is too much, this is not allowed to go on, and this person now has to leave this body and not just suffer. I think what surprises me the most is how strongly I felt about it. Because there have been many times in my life where I wanted out. There just have. I've had a hard life, and I've had some really weird experiences. But my incredible resistance to that, my feeling that I don't want this thing to have the say I want to say, and I'm not ready to go, that was the most intense thing, and it kind of surprised me. Anyway, I did pull through. I did recover. So far, I've recovered from everything else that's been thrown at me. It doesn't always seem like I'm gonna. Anyway, I wanted to share my experience, and I'm enjoying the show. Sometimes it creeps me out, but I'd like to hear what people have seen and felt. Okay, take care.
It sounds pretty tough, but hang in there, Holly. We're rooting for you. And thank you for the phone call. My God, as if they don't have enough power already. Now, I can't say that I blame Holly. I feel like we should all have a say in such a decision. After all, it's a matter of life and death. Now, outside of that, I suppose we just add this story to the long list of other Shadow Man traits that we have heard over the years. Not that any of that clears this mystery up any further. But we do appreciate the unsettling call, Holly. And let's hope that none of you are visited by the same entity that Holly was. What a terrifying concept. Now, folks, if you have a call you would like to share here on the show, simply give me a call at my hotline at 1-888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or feel free to record your story on your phone and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Remember, don't call from a moving vehicle. Remember to finish your story, and one story per call. Now for our next story. And for that one, please welcome Andy from the state of Nebraska.
Hey, Derek. This is Andy from Omaha, Nebraska. Got a potential ghost cat story for you. This happened, probably about a decade ago. My girlfriend at the time had a cat who passed away. It was a orange male cat. And it was a night or two after the cat passed away. I was laying in bed, sound asleep. And the door from my bedroom opened up to the kitchen, and it was the weirdest thing because after the cat passed, there was no other animals in the house whatsoever. But I heard a cat just meowing and yowling, just a god-awful cry, and it sounded like it was approaching the bedroom, like it was about to round the corner and slowly come right into the bedroom, and the meowing got louder and louder. And the strangest thing was I was like frozen with fear, completely frozen, couldn't move. And, you know, since that experience, I did a little more research on sleep paralysis. And in hindsight, I think that might have been what was going on, since I was physically unable to move despite the terror. And I would have chalked it up to just sleep paralysis, but after I kind of snapped out of that trance, I was fully awake. I really had to go to the bathroom, which made me nervous because I had to go out of my bedroom and cross that hallway spot. So I did. I ran to the bathroom, slammed the door, did my business. And on the way back out is where it gets really strange, because walking back to my bedroom from the bathroom, I went to step. And as I looked down, I swear to God, there was a translucent silhouette of a cat curled up on the ground right below my feet, as if it was sleeping. And it was so real. It was so vivid and so real. My instincts kicked in. I didn't want to step on a cat. So I stumbled and fumbled, and I like fell into the wall and had to brace myself because I had lost my balance. Needless to say, I hardly slept a wink the rest of that night. And the next morning, I'm in my home office working on the computer, and sure enough, right in front of me, right on the other side of my computer desk, I see a flick of an orange tail bobbing by, as if the cat was really there. And of course, I hurried and I looked around the corner on the other side of the desk, and nothing was there. And that room was, quote unquote, the cat's room. That was the room the cat always hung out in. So sleep paralysis may be one thing, but those two other experiences lead me to believe that there is leftover energy from that cat, or maybe a residual energy. It's up for debate. Anyway, hopefully you enjoy the story. Love the podcast. Listen to it every single night. And love the new intro music, too, by the way. Keep up the good work, Derek. Bye.
Thank you, Andy. You know, having lost Annabelle 8 months ago tomorrow, I sure wish that I got a visit like that. But sadly, nothing. But you know, cats do have a connection with death. Not only are they perfect killing machines, but they're also often connected with superstition and lore. And they've also been observed doing strange things around the dying. Do you guys remember Oscar the Cat from Season 4, Episode 1? Here's a clip to jog your memory.
Anyone who knows and loves cats knows and loves the fact that there are some things about them we can never know. And Oscar the Cat, who lives amongst terminally ill patients at the Steer Nursing Home in Providence, Rhode Island,
Oscar,
seems to have one especially inexplicable ability.
We've noticed that if someone's in the dying process, he will curl up on the bed almost to comfort that person through their last hours.
Mary Miranda and her colleagues didn't notice it just once or twice.
He's done this 25 times in the 2 years he's been with us.
And he's never been wrong?
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like clockwork. 2 to 4 hours before someone dies, Oscar shows up.
Now, how's this for a coincidence? Unfortunately, Oscar died a few years ago, on February 22nd of 2022. 2-22-22. Odd. Well, anyway, we thank you, Andy, for sharing your story, and for giving me an opportunity to bring up Oscar one more time.
Has it? Moro Casino,
America's social casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Breaking the law.
Well, hopefully we'll have a lighter note on this next entry. From Jim, in the state up north.
Hello, Derek. This is Jim from Michigan. My story takes place in Virginia. I took part in a very casual ghost hunt at the Wilderness Road Regional Museum in New Bern, Virginia, not too far from Virginia Tech. And I collected a EVP that's pretty interesting. I've attached it to this email. I heard nothing at the time, other than obviously my own voice. You can hear that in there. But I collected it standing over a glass case full of Native American arrowheads. So make of that what you will. I've done a lot of hiking in the Appalachians. I've heard and seen very strange things, but this is the only thing for which I have any evidence whatsoever. However, I want to point it out how important it is what you're doing. When I was a kid, I was very interested in this kind of thing. I used to look it up on microfiche at the library that tells you how old I am. But now I am very recently a stepdad, and my stepson is interested in the same sorts of things. He's actually called in. He's Max from The Mitten. He was in your kid show. And we can bond over this. So I think what you're doing has value perhaps beyond what you know. And I want to thank you for it. Bye.
Thank you, Jim. And you know, it doesn't feel all that important. I spend day after day here in my basement office, thumbing through old books and clicking on websites that haven't been updated in 20 years. It's a completely different experience from this side of the microphone. But I am happy that I'm able to be there for you and anyone else that needs this platform. And for people that are concerned that I'm going somewhere, I don't know where that rumor came from. The show's not going anywhere. Now, as for Jim's call, this isn't the first time I've heard stories about Native American artifacts conjuring up some sort of strange activity. In fact, I have a case of arrowheads I found when I was a kid, sitting maybe 3 feet from me as I speak. And so far, nothing strange has happened surrounding that. But I'm still open-minded, and I certainly am paying attention. So if there is something attached to these items, and it somehow manifests here, you'll be the first to know about it. Now, before we move on, real quickly, Jim mentioned the kids' show that his stepson Max was on. Well, coincidentally, tonight's Beyond episode will feature the second installment of the kids-only episode. So stick around to the end of the program to hear how you can listen to the kids episode absolutely free. And for you Beyond supporters, you're already going to get it. But more on that here in a bit. Now, before we break for this next ad break, let's take a listen to the EVP that Jim sent in. Now, I'm not 100% certain which part of this clip is the ghostly voice, but I made an educated guess and isolated that part and repeated it just for you. So the following is what Jim sent in.
Is there anybody here who wants to talk to us?
Thank you again, Jim, for not only the phone call, but the kind words and the EVP as well.
People's Tax Relief.
Moro Casino. America.
like a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. Information.
Now for this next entry, we head to the Pacific Northwest. But instead of Bigfoot, we're discussing guardian angels. Michael from Oregon, welcome to the program.
Hi, Derek. My name's Michael Morgan. I live in Oregon. I'm calling because I have a bit of a guardian angel story. This happened a couple years ago. I was at home alone, and I'm a type 1 diabetic. And I was really out of it, and I just kept trying to go back to sleep, and I just hear my grandma's voice, who had passed away a couple of years before this. I just hear her say, "Michael, you need to get up." And that, like, snapped me out of everything, and I got up, and I tested my blood sugar, and I was in the low 30s, which is pretty close to on death's door, if you know anything about diabetes. So I just thought that it was very strange that I heard my dead grandma's voice telling me to get up and figure my stuff out. Just thought I'd call and share that with you. Thanks for everything you do on the podcast. I hope you have a great day.
A ghost, a guardian angel, a coincidence, or some inner voice disguised as a grandmother. Whatever it was, we're happy it managed to wake you up, Michael. And we thank you for the phone call. Well, folks, that brings us to tonight's next entry, which comes to us from Karen in parts unknown.
Yes, my name is Karen, and I was in the military, the Air Force, for 8 years, and my first base was in Wyoming. And back in the day, it used to be an Army cavalry fort. Of course, back in, that's when they were fighting the Indians and everything, so there were a lot of deaths. And so I have a couple of stories that I was part of, or it happened to me. The first one was in September of 92. I had been working long hours where I worked in my position, so I was at home asleep when my friend who worked in lodging called me about 10, 11 at night, freaking out, asking me to go down there and stay the night down there. And of course, I was like, you know, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. She's like, please, please, something happened. Please, please come down. I'll let you sleep and I'll wake you up in the morning and all that. So I went down there and she tells me this story that she was working at lodging. She worked the 11 to 7 shift, 11 at night to 7 in the morning. And she just happened to look up out into the lobby and she saw a gentleman with long dark hair sit down on the couch. So she went out to go see if he needed anything. And just as she opened the door to go out, he disappeared. And then, of course, the lights started flickering. So I went down, I spent the night, and she woke me up so I could get home and, you know, get ready for work. And the next thing that happened in October 93. I was resting. I had just laid down to rest on my stomach and I just barely closed my eyes when I heard my door combination going. We had these buttons that you had to push the right combination, and I heard the door open. And I'm like, who knows my combination and is coming in? So I turn around, and the door's closed. There was no one there. I was like, okay. So I put my head back down, and then all of a sudden, I felt something sit on my bed and then lie on top of me. Fortunately, I was on my stomach. I was scared a little bit at first, but after a while, I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on, but whenever you're finished, just hurry up and leave. So the next thing I know, the pressure is off of me, and then I hear the door open again and close again, and that was that. Thank you for listening to my story.
A tale fit for the Stanley Hotel up in Colorado. The inspiration for Stephen King's The Shining. Thank you, Karen. Now, I'm pretty sure Karen's disappearing man is ghostly in nature. But speaking of disappearing individuals, how many of you have heard of this time traveler in a shed? You see, the story takes place down in Florida. Of course it does. You see, it's a story that was forwarded to me via TikTok. And it takes place down in Florida. And essentially, it's this guy talking about... Well, here, let me just play the clip. The following was released on TikTok by TikTok user Alec Shao.
It blows my mind. This just happened yesterday. So as you can see, he's wandering around my backyard. I don't know what he's trying to do. Now he's like thinking like where to go, and he actually ends up going into my shed. So you can see he opens it, goes into the shed. So I'm fast forwarding the time so you can see there's no movement. He never leaves the shed. And I'm talking on the camera. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Why are you in my shed? Never answers. He never leaves the shed. I literally was watching it the whole time. So I end up calling the police. You can see in the last one, the police coming through the front yard. And then here's the police coming into the backyard. And you can see they literally go inside. They go inside and I'm talking to them. Then they go inside again. Like they're inside there. And they come out and he's not there. And like I've been watching this backdoor camera the whole entire time and he never left until the next day right here. Notification on my camera that there's somebody in my backyard, and this guy leaves my shed and he looks right at the camera too. That guy left my shed. But here's the craziest part. This looks like the same guy, maybe glasses, whatever. Let's look at the other guy. This was the other guy. He noticeably aged. Looks like the same guy, but aged. Same facial features, whiter hair.
Now, when this video first popped up, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I did a quick search online to see if I could find this gentleman and see if the other people in the video showed up in any of his photos. Because I have a sneaking suspicion that the young man and the old man are relatives of Alex. But that's just a gut feeling. I have no proof to back that up, because I did find his Facebook page, but there was no sign of the old or young man anywhere on it. Now, if you would like to view the video, you can actually see these gentlemen's faces and see the shed that they supposedly leaped from, just visit the show notes at monstersamonguspodcast.com. And thank you again, Karen, for sharing your story and allowing me to segue into a story I found captivating.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger, Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's about 10,000.
It's not common, sir. This is...
Now, this next entry takes us over to the state of Massachusetts. David, welcome to the program.
Hello, Derek, Sarah, Addie, and friends. It's me, the frequent offender, a.k.a. David from Massachusetts. What I'm about to share with you has both a lighter side and a serious tragic side. First, the lighter side. Back in 2020, Derek made a prediction that Bigfoot would be found on October 20th. I'm guessing his prediction was tongue-in-cheek, considering that October 20th is Sasquatch Awareness Day. Needless to say, nothing much happened on that day. It was at that time something told me to make a prediction of my own. So based on Derek's, I simply added 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day to predict something would happen on November 21st, 2021. My instant feeling was there would be a Mothman sighting with tragic results. Considering the recent number of sightings around Chicago and Rockford, I felt it would happen in that general area of the country. If you've ever seen the movie The Mothman Prophecies, it definitely has a Christmas theme throughout the film, especially during the Silver Bridge collapse. Well, here is the tragic, serious part I mentioned earlier. Turns out November 21st, 2021 was the date of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, in which Daryl Brooks Jr. allegedly killed 6 people and injured 62. What I couldn't help but notice was that his rapper name is Math Boy Fly. Okay, here we go. The name Math Boy and Mothman are so very similar. And what does Mothman do? He flies. My heart truly goes out to all the victims' families and friends of this very sad tragedy. My prediction with Derek's help didn't exactly come true. As far as I know, Mothman was not seen that day. But it does make you wonder. Monsters Among Us rocks.
Thank you, David. Great to hear from you again. Well, that's quite the prediction that he made. And quite the failure on my part. Because, obviously, Bigfoot was not found in 2020. Or 2021. Or 22. Or 23. And probably not 2024. But we're still hopeful. Now, as for your prediction, David, please let us know if anything else pops into your mind. That was a terrifying and tragic event that took place. And if there's anything we can do to prevent these things from happening in the future, no matter how strange the method, I think we should at least entertain it. So thank you again for calling, and please, keep your ears open. Now, next up, we venture back down to Australia. It's our second time in a couple of weeks. This time, Phil has a story waiting for us.
Hey Derek, this is Phil from Australia. I used to live in the UK in a place called Worcester. Worcester is a pretty old city in itself. There was a civil war back in the 17th century. My parents bought a brand new house on a housing estate in this area where quite a few strange things occurred. Voices and things disappearing, reappearing. The biggest or probably the most scariest night my friend and I had, same estate, I was around his house. We were actually watching a film on TV. And it was summertime, the windows were open, his mum was upstairs asleep with his youngest brother. His mum was Scottish. I was sat on a chair nearest the door to the stairs going up, and I just heard this voice shout his name, Paul, in a Scottish accent. And I said to Paul, I said, oh, I think your mum's calling for you. So he went upstairs, came back down again, looking a bit confused, saying, no, she's fast asleep, so is my brother. So, okay, thought nothing of it. And then within about 5-10 minutes later, we both heard this voice, Paul, again, except it's a bit more, not masculine, but it wasn't his mum. This time we looked a bit worried. So we, as 15-year-olds, we got some knives out of the kitchen, went outside the front, the back, the sides, into the garage. Couldn't see anything. Came back in the house, decided to close up all the doors and windows, etc. Then we heard Paul again, but we didn't really know where it was coming from. So, as you can imagine, Paul was getting pretty upset by this. Decided to go up the stairs. As we got to the stairs, the bottom of the stairs, we both heard his name shouted literally right behind us. There's nothing there apart from the door to the entrance door to the house. You can see lights were on, there's nothing there, door was closed. Paul pushed me up the stairs. We ran upstairs, ran into his bedroom. As he closed the bedroom door, sorry, bedroom window, we both heard his name called again outside the bedroom window. He shut the window, and that was it. We never heard anything again. I've got a few stories from that place, but that was probably the most scary. It was a pretty intense experience, to be honest. This lasted probably over the course of maybe 45 minutes to an hour. Love your show. Keep up the good work. Thanks a lot. Cheers, Derek.
Spooky stuff, Phil. Thank you for calling in. And I suppose it's unsettling to hear any disembodied voice. But to hear that voice call out your name or your friend's name, that's a different level of fear right there. And I like the idea of the boys grabbing knives from the kitchen in hopes that they can stop this unseen force. It definitely gives off the vibe of the Frog Brothers. If you know, you know. Well, we thank you again, Phil, for taking the time to call in. We appreciate the entry. Well, folks, this next entry takes us to the Badger State of Wisconsin. Please welcome Kelly to tonight's program.
Hey, Derek. My name is Kelly. I live in Wisconsin. I've been listening to the show for quite some time now. I love it. I love all those stories. Well, until now, I haven't had an experience to call in about, but now I think I do. So I wanted to call in and share with everyone. Over Labor Day weekend this year, my fiancé and I rented the little cabin on the other side of the state here in an area called the Driftless Region. So Wisconsin, most of it was covered by glaciers, you know, thousands of years ago. But part of it is considered the non-glaciated area. So the geography and topography are really varied. It's beautiful. So that's where we were, rented a little cabin away from light pollution, you know, the city. The sky was totally clear, beautiful summer night. We went outside to do some stargazing and, you know, kind of saw the typical stuff like shooting stars, saw the Big Dipper pretty clearly. Also, for the first time for me, I saw satellites in the sky, you know, little points that they're moving about the same size as the stars, which is really awesome. You know, we're looking at the sky and just looking and marveling at everything. And I saw one point of light moving similarly to what the satellites were looking like, when all of a sudden it just shot away, like to the left of my field of view. I, you know, don't know where it went, but I was really startled by the speed at which it moved. It reminded me of, I grew up on Star Trek, so it reminded me of like a ship going into warp. And my fiance didn't see this, but I'm just wondering, could that have been a satellite too? I mean, I really don't think they move that quickly, or could it have been something else? So just wanted to throw that out there for everyone. Again, this is, you know, my first time seeing satellites, so I'm pretty sure I know what those look like now, but this was really different. Like I said, it was moving and then just shot away almost like it went at warp speed somewhere. So, you know, if you share this, I hope people find it interesting, or if they have some ideas, or if you have some ideas of what we may have seen, that would be awesome. So thanks for all that you do. Again, love the show. I'll keep listening. And I hope everyone has a great spooky evening, since we're in spooky season now. So thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kelly, for calling in. You know, when it comes to UFO sightings, there's a handful of descriptors that I look for to help validate the experience. The craft turning 90 degrees on a dime is one of them, because man-made craft should not be able to do such a thing. So anything that does display that ability is, by assumption, otherworldly. The ability for a craft to travel across the sky silently is yet another telltale sign that this could be a legitimate UFO sighting. And finally, the craft's ability to shoot from horizon to horizon in a matter of a second or less. That's also a capability reserved for craft from outside this planet. As far as I know, our military has nothing with those capabilities. So when you hear a UFO tale, look for a couple of those indicators. Those little details will typically let you know if they simply witnessed a satellite or a plane, or if this is the genuine article. Oh, and Kelly, you're right in assuming that a satellite does not travel that quickly. I would estimate it takes maybe 30 seconds to a minute for one to go from horizon to horizon. I've likely seen hundreds since I've moved to the mountains, and each one seems to move at a relatively the same speed. And none of them are as quick as what Kelly was describing. So I hope this information helps you out, Kelly. And I hope what you saw was something from another world. Thank you again for calling in. Well, now this next entry takes us to the eastern seaboard, North Carolina to be specific. Please welcome Angela to the show.
Hi, my name is Angela. I'm from North Carolina. I wanted to tell a story about one night when I had a patient pass away. My husband and myself lived on the property at the facility, so we're right beside the assisted living facility. I had a patient that was on hospice that we expected to pass away, and when a patient passed away, I would have to go to the facility, call the doctor, have them pronounced, call hospice, and have a nurse come out, and then I'd have to wait on the funeral home to come pick the patient up. Well, this particular night, it was really late. It was probably around midnight, and we're up in the mountain, and the staff had called me and told me that the patient had passed away, and my husband had said he was going to leave and he was going to go to Greensboro and work. And he liked to drive at night because the traffic wasn't quite as bad. So he left when I went to go to the facility to do the things for the patient. Anyway, so he left. I told him bye and I walked over to the facility. Well, I did all the things I needed to do with this patient and everything. And I got home about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the house was empty except for my two children. They were in the bed, and my husband was gone. I turned all the lights off, crawled in the bed, pulled the blanket over me, and I was getting ready to go to sleep. Well, I felt somebody get in bed with me. I know that people know how that feels when somebody gets in the bed with you. You feel the mattress go down, and, you know, sometimes the bed might make noise or whatever. I'm not sure if the bed made noise, but the mattress went down, and the blanket was pulled. And I was like, Rob, I thought you went to Greensboro. And I rolled over to touch him, and there was nobody there. Like, I know somebody got in the bed with me that night. And I jumped up, turned all the lights on, and watched TV the rest of the night. I couldn't go back to sleep. I was very paranoid. But during all this, I did tell the patient that it was okay. She could go now. She could go back to the facility or wherever, but she didn't need to be at my house with me. And I never had any other experiences like that afterwards. Anyway, keep up the good work. I love your show. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you, Angela. That's not an easy job. So good on you for taking it on. And you know, it's especially unrewarding when one of these deceased patients follows you home. That's the time to look for a new line of work, I would think. But either way, thank you again, Angela, for making the phone call and for helping usher that poor woman on to the other side. For all we know, your words were pivotal in getting her where she needed to go.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
So this next one comes to us from the state of Iowa. Bam, go ahead with your story.
Hi, Derek. This is Pam from a small town in Iowa. This story happened in 1993, and we lived in an old two-story farmhouse, two bedrooms, and a long, narrow storage area that ran across the front of the house that was upstairs as well. The day we moved in, I had a miscarriage, and my husband was gone working on the road, so my mother came to stay with me. She slept on the couch, and I stayed upstairs and slept in the lower bunk of a bunk bed we had already set up. We hadn't set up any of the other beds. That night, I had terrible nightmares as I slept in that room on that bunk bed. By the way, my kids were staying with their other grandparents. So the next day, my mom went home, and I went and picked up my children from their grandparents. My son was 7 years old, and my daughter was 2 years old. And that evening, my son and daughter and I went upstairs, and my daughter and I were on the lower bunk of the bed, and I was reading a book to her. My son was in the large walk-in closet where his toys were, and also a heavy-duty bookshelf that he had toys and books on as well. And my son had been playing in there for like 10, 15 minutes when he came out, and he looked scared to death. And the color was drained from his face, and he said, "Mom, the bookshelf just moved." And I said, "You probably bumped it or something." And he said, "No, no, it didn't." And he was really, really scared. And remember, he was only 7 years old. So I went into the closet and jumped up and down trying to get the bookshelf to move. It didn't move. I immediately came out of that walk-in closet. I was trying to be light and upbeat. And I told my son to get some of his toys he'd like to play with and we'd go downstairs and play. So he did that. He got some of his clothes, and I got my daughter, and we went downstairs, and at the bottom of the stairs, there was a door, and I shut it, and I never made them sleep up there again. The downstairs of the house felt fine. So from then on, my son slept on the couch, and my daughter slept in their playpen, and we just kept that door to the upstairs shut, and everything was fine, and luckily we'd only lived there about a year. As a side note, I had a clothesline that I always hung our clothes out on to dry. I was always, always feeling like something was watching me from an upstairs window that looked out over the clothesline. So that's my story. Thanks, Derek. I love your show. My son loves your show. He's the one that turned me on to it. So thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pam, for calling in. Now I wonder, did the miscarriage somehow inspire the activity in the house? If so, I find it a little strange that it manifests itself as a moving bookshelf. My imagination can conjure up all sorts of ways to display this sort of energy. A moving shelf is low on that list. Then again, this is unfamiliar territory, so I'm not sure how such a thing may affect paranormal activity in a home. So perhaps this is exactly how it should have went down. Regardless, we thank you, Pam, for calling in, and we're sorry for your loss. Now, folks, it looks like we're going abroad again. This next one takes us to the country of Spain, possibly for the first time ever on this program. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek and Monsters Among Us listeners. My name is Ryan. I'm originally from Southern California, but now I live in Spain, about an hour south of Barcelona. And I'm calling about a UFO sighting on the 10th of May, 2023. Now, it was about 10:30 at night, and I was changing my son's diaper, and usually we keep the poopy diapers outside on our patio for obvious reasons. And every time I go outside, I like to look up at the stars. And also, we live in kind of like a condo building with neighbors above us. So one of our neighbors has a cute little beagle that peeks its head out all the time, and I like to look up and try to see that. So as I'm taking off the diaper and then look up to see if I see the beagle, I see a row of lights just hovering over the building. And it was very low, so I called my wife to come outside to go take a look at this also. And when we both go outside there, we can see that it is a massively huge triangular-shaped craft that's just hovering there. And then it starts to proceed slowly towards the sea, towards the Mediterranean, and all of a sudden just disappears in a cloud bank. It must have been really, really big. I'm not going to try to estimate size or anything, especially, without any reference point, but it was pretty low. Our building is a 5-story building, and it was easily bigger than that, easily. In any case, yeah, it was quite anomalous. It hovered there and moved very slowly without making any sound whatsoever, just for, I don't know, a minute, maybe 2 minutes at the most, before disappearing into the cloud bank. Now, fast forward a month to June the 6th, we are over at my brother and sister-in-law's house, who live about, 10 miles away. And we're out in their backyard for a celebration, and here it was a holiday in Spain at that time, so there was a bunch of fireworks and everything going off. And all of a sudden, we see that same craft again. Now, my wife and my sister-in-law both have better eyesight than I do, and they were able to kind of make out that it wasn't just a triangular-shaped craft or a delta or a chevron-shaped craft, but a pyramid, exactly like what I would say if anybody knows the Ninja Turtle comic books or have seen any of the cartoons with the Triceratons. It looked like one of their ships. Now, obviously, to me, what it was reminiscent of was the Phoenix lights, because you could clearly see each about six different lights coming on one side of the craft before going on to the other side of the craft. And again, it did the same kind of same motion, is just hovering over what looked like our city for a little bit before all of a sudden, now we got a better look at it from a distance, and it was huge and massive. This thing zipped off so quickly over the ocean, just in the blink of an eye. And we could see kind of the trails going on, because there was actually a lot of fireworks going on at the time. So we could see the path of the craft, and it just disappeared over the middle of the sea. And have no clue what happened after that. Yeah, that is my story of a UFO sighting in Spain. Thank you very much. Love what you do. Absolutely love this podcast. Been listening for many, many years now, and I hope you continue for many years. So thanks again, and have a great one.
Well, if you keep listening, I'll keep pumping them out. Thank you, Ryan. You know, given that this may be the first report out of the country of Spain, I decided to do a little digging while I was listening to Ryan's story. And as it turns out, Spain is near the top of the list of countries for UFO sightings. Number one, unsurprisingly, is the United States. Number two, probably unsurprisingly again, is Canada. Followed by China, then France. Then comes Spain, with 3,650 sightings since 1947, when the first UFO sightings broke the world. Now this information, according to MIT, and I've linked to the website in the show notes if you'd like to take a look. And before we move on, I will say I really enjoy getting these reports from other parts of the world. It really helps put things in perspective. So thank you again, Ryan, for taking the time to call. Now, speaking of traveling the world, this next story takes place on the continent of Africa, by way of D, in the state of Idaho.
Hey, Derek, this is Dee from Idaho, but this is a secondhand story from one of my college professors. He was a zoology professor, and he was hunting for Diker and Sitatunga in Cameroon, which is in West Africa. He had a guide and everything, and they were looking for Diker, Sitatunga, and kind of just watching for any other animals that they could see. And it was this heavily wooded, bushy area, not like tropical, but very humid bush. And he had a rock thrown at him, and it missed his head by about 6 inches. And this was a fairly large size rock. It was, from what he said, probably would have weighed around 10 pounds. And then a bunch of other rocks were thrown at him within an area of about 20 minutes. And his guide just said that they're going to get out of here because it was chimpanzees, Nigeria, Cameroon chimpanzees, which as far as I know are not an animal that you would find in like subtropical bush. They tend to be more tropical animals. So we started coming up with theories for what this could have been. He came up with the theory of, I believe it was called a Nandi bear, which from what I've researched, they're only heard from Eastern Africa, like Tanzania or Ethiopia. Other than that, maybe some kind of unknown, like, hominid creature. It had to have been either ape or a kind of hominid, because there's really nothing else that can throw stuff. It was probably chimpanzees, but from what I know, they're not subtropical. They're tropical animals. I just thought that was a weird experience that he told me. And if you or anybody that hears this can figure out some kind of an idea of what could have thrown that, it would be very much appreciated, because he still is wondering what it is, and I'm still in contact with him. I love the show, and I hope that I eventually do hear this on the podcast. All right, see ya.
Thanks, D. You know, this is a super interesting story, but I'm not convinced that it's paranormal. There are a number of great apes that call Cameroon home, gorilla is baboon, and like Ryan said, chimpanzee, all capable of tossing a rock or two. Now granted, as Dee claimed, some of these magnificent animals do not live in the subtropical region, but that certainly doesn't mean they couldn't be passing through. Instead, I think the more important takeaway here is the behavior. Assuming it was a great ape, it further supports the idea that they can and do throw things, notably rocks. The exact same behavior that Bigfoot is said to possess. It's definitely something to think about. And outside of that, I'm excited to feature a call from another far-off place. So thank you again, Dee, for making that possible. And now for our final call of the evening. And this one comes to us from the state of New Mexico. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, Derek and Monsters Among Us listeners. My name is Robert. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I just wanted to share a story. I mean, I've always kind of been into like the paranormal or aliens and just kind of the unexplained and things like that. Something happened to where I kind of just had to share this because lately I've been binge watching kind of like older TV shows I used to be into as a kid. And I was watching an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. I'm not sure the episode. Maybe I can find it. But it was an episode where there was like a kid involved and he was the one like doing the crimes or whatever. They go try to look for him in this barn style, like a warehouse, kind of like a metal building. And the kid is up in the rafters and he's wearing this green frog-like mask. And when I saw it, I remembered when I saw that as a kid, and like that same primal fear just came over me. And it reminded me of when I lived at my old house, and it wasn't in the best area of Albuquerque. And I was always kind of a scared kid, scared of the dark, and you know, always had a nightlight or something. Definitely was super stoked when my dad put dimmers in our room. I shared a room with my brother and sister, bunk beds and stuff. But whenever I would get like super scared, you know, as a kid does, I would go into my parents' room and want to sleep with them. And this happened to be one of those nights, and their room had a big window that looked into our backyard. And in front of that window, there was a rose bush. And I remember, you know, in my scaredness, I couldn't really go to sleep. So I'm just looking out the window, and this thing kind of like came into focus. It was looking in through the window, and it was this giant, like, praying mantis-headed thing. And it just scared the heck out of me, man. Like, so, as also as a kid does, I put my head under the covers. A couple minutes later, I look back and it's still there. And so I freak out. I try to wake my parents up and have them look. And of course, as soon as I tell them, it's gone. So they just kind of brushed it off. They said I was seeing things, or maybe the leaves or shadows in the night. You know, one of those things, you know, like your eyes are playing tricks on you, something like that. But I always remember that. And maybe that's why, as a kid, when I was watching that show, when I saw that mask, that green frog-like thing, it just freaked me out. Like, and it really shouldn't have. But yeah, just recently I got that same feeling when I saw that episode. It was so weird. So I just wanted to share that. I know other people have had sightings of, like, insectoids and things like that. But that's my story. Thank you so much. Hopefully I can call back with some other stories, because New Mexico is crazy.
All right,
bye-bye.
Okay, what the hell was that? Thanks, Robert, for chiming in. Now, if I were to make an educated guess on what it was, I'd say it was another sighting of the infamous and seldom seen Mantis Man, a human-sized or larger creature that looks like a cross between a human and some sort of praying mantis. Truly terrifying stuff. Now, we've covered this cryptid several times on past episodes. Season 3, Episode 1 comes to mind, as does Season 11, Episode 5, and Season 10, Episode 5. So if this story has piqued your interest, I'd say that's a good jumping-off point. but this creature has been reported all over the country. So perhaps all one needs to do to see one is to simply look outside. Thank you again, Robert, for taking the time to call and for sharing the nightmare fuel. And folks, that's going to do it for tonight. A big thanks to all of tonight's submitters, and a huge thanks to you for tuning in. Now don't forget to stick around till after the outro to learn more about how you can listen to tonight's kids-only episode. But until then, Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Please don't forget to follow us on social media and give us a like and follow at YouTube as well. And while you're at it, maybe a rate and review. That goes a long way to help the show grow and continue. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll catch you behind the outro. And I'll also catch you next week. Have a good night.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Now tonight's secret entry comes to us from Ashton. Sorry, got that wrong. Kevin, in the state of New York.
Hey Derek, this is Kevin, calling from New York State. However, this story took place in Pennsylvania, where I'm originally from. It's a story about an experience with the Will-O-the-Wisp. So, I was in Pennsylvania for a canoeing trip with some buddies, and we were meeting a couple of the guys the night before in the campground where we would be putting in, and they said that they would leave a light stick burning at a trail junction so that we knew to turn there and go to the campground, because we were walking down an old rail trail from the parking lot, and this was on the New York-New Jersey border on the Delaware River. So it's nighttime, it's raining pretty bad, we have all our gear, and we're humping the stuff through the woods, through the night, to find these guys. And I'm looking out for this light stick, my buddy's looking out for the light stick, we keep moving, we're having a couple beers, and we're talking, and it starts to really rain. And I'm wondering what the heck I'm doing out there, but, you know, we're tough Pennsylvania boys, so we know what we're doing. So anyway, walking down the trail, I see the light stick, and I say, oh, there it is. I guess we turn here. But as we're walking, the light stick keeps getting further and further away down the trail. Almost seems like it's going behind trees and then coming back out again and then going up in the air and then coming back down again. At one point, it's 60 feet in the air. And I said to my friend, do you freaking see that? And he hadn't been watching when I was watching, and I saw this little green dot that looked like a glow stick going up and down in the air and down into the woods and back out on the trail. And unbeknownst to us, we had passed the trail junction that we were supposed to be turning right on. The guys never left a light stick hanging like they said they would. And, you know, from Pennsylvania Dutch area, they talk a lot about will-o'-the-wisp and swamp gas and things like that and how it lures travelers into the woods. And I feel like this is one of those experiences. Pretty cool. Very weird. I wanted to say I love the show. It's amazing. It's just a thing for long road trips and spooky nights. So thank you, Derek. Keep it up and keep it spooky.
Thank you, Kevin. And for anybody on a long road trip listening to this episode, please drive safe. Now, you can't beat a good ghost light story. And I'm certain that the following is some sort of coincidence. But there's actually a hotel on the Delaware River called the Ghost Light Inn, though it's several miles from where Kevin had his encounter. And unfortunately, I could not find any claims that that building is haunted. But given the history of that area, I certainly wouldn't be surprised. So that said, thank you again, Kevin, for calling in and for closing us out. Now, there is no Beyond episode attached to this episode. It's a freestanding installment that's already up over at Patreon. So visit patreon.com, search out Monsters Among Us, and you can listen to this kids-only episode absolutely free. No sign-up needed. So go on over and hear what the youngsters have to say. And I'm afraid that's going to do it for this episode. So again, keep it spooky. Stay safe out there. And we'll catch you all back here next week. Have a good night.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.